resolution to approve the use of speed detection devices by law enforcement officials.
Chief.
This is a formality that we intend to run radar and laser in Dunwoody. We have to pass the resolution. This is part of the package that's been sent to the department.
Okay. Questions for Chief on that?
Chief, this is just on approval to use it. This is an additional expenditure.
No, sir.
Except to people who drive cars like yours.
He's got a little tan car.
I guess I'll say that I've received a whole lot of input from citizens as to where you can deploy these things April 1st.
Can we approve that? Or?
Yeah, I have one question for you, Tom, just for clarification. We might have spoken about this before, but what is the law again for the city to use radar? You know, we get, and we council gets a lot of emails from constituents regarding, you know, neighborhood. Let's say somebody says, you know, we would like some enforcement in our neighborhood. Can you or can your officers use the radar anywhere within our
community? No, it has to be on streets that's been approved by the Department of Transportation. We've submitted a list to them, or we'll, as soon as we get this, it'll go to them. And most neighborhood streets are not zoned for radar or laser. Some are, depending on the type of street and everything. I think we've kind of included almost all streets on it, and then we'll see what we get back from them.
So almost all streets, but that would not probably include neighborhood streets, right?
I think our list that we're submitting will have all the neighborhood streets on it, but they're probably not going to approve all the streets.
I got you. Okay.
What I understand the criteria is like grade and sight distance and things like that.
Sure. Different criteria like that, for sure.
Okay, thank you. All right, Tom.
I'm going to approve.
All right, second by Councilman Ross. Any discussion on this? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Any other new business? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got L5 and L6.
All right, we got L5, the alcohol fee schedule.
We have a couple of questions for a minute. One was for wine tasting events. We actually requested an annual. Previously, we did not actually approve such a fee. So staff is recommending the $50 fee for wine tasting permit and $300 for an annual. Also, we had a permit for a catered event for one of the residential alcohol permits. The same fee is $50 mandated by law for non-residential. So we just copied the same fee for residents if they're not either at an advantage or disadvantage for that. And that's what staff is recommending. So the only changes for the wine tastings is the residential catered event fee.
Okay, thanks. Brian, any questions for Brian? Brian, how does this compare to other municipalities? I know none of us are probably experts on...
Right. All other municipalities for the non-resident catered event is $50 a day because that's mandated by law. We're matching that, which I would highly recommend. And then for wine tasting events, what we did is we didn't actually compare it to others. We just said, you know, non-profits, if they actually sell beer and wine for the day, we made it a $50 fee. A catered event is a $50 fee. We just chose the same $50 fee to cover the expenses. We think it actually doesn't quite cover the actual expenses of processing a fee. But, you know, it's a little bit something just to make them cover some expenses.
Okay. Is there any sense of urgency in doing this tonight? This wasn't published to the community, and I know that this has been very sensitive.
The only urgency is that we've actually had permits. We'd have to find out when the actual events are, but we can't. If we actually grant them now, there'd be a zero fee. So I guess there isn't a urgency if you are so inclined to do that zero fee.
All right. Any other questions for Brian?
This is a resolution, so it only requires that we vote once on it.
Correct. We have to have input from the community because it wasn't published.
Right.
Right, this would be today if you actually do what the other option is, we just eat a little money and do it next time.
Okay. Any other questions for O'Brien?
All right, with that, we'll have public comment on this. Anybody wishes to speak in favor of the alcohol fees, please make their way to the podium. And please don't run. anyone in speak against? All right. We'll close the public comment section. I will make a motion that we defer this.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, alcohol fees is deferred. Sharon, could you please make sure to put that on our next agenda? All right, AGL.
We actually got back the AGL proposal from AGL. There's a couple minor changes which are underlined in the order before. The two that I call off the top first is they will not do a monthly. They have not done a monthly for anyone. So what we got them to agree is that they'll give us the same as they give everybody else. So if they give someone else one, we have a chance to go back to them. But that was one. It says the franchise fee payment should be made to the city on the same schedule as the company franchise fee payment to its other franchise carrier. It states that it's absolutely uniform. The other one was we tried to extend the franchise from disturbing beyond the city property. They just flat out refused to even go there. So they put that out and back to the original public city property. And the third is a cleanup of the insurance language, which doesn't really affect the way it reads one way or the other. It just cleans it up. Otherwise, it's identical to what was previously passed. So now, I would recommend actually doing this because you get a payment here next month. If we delay it a couple more weeks, we might not be able to get paid for the franchise fee.
Many.
On the issue of insurance, they still want to be self-insured.
Yes, that is right. Absolutely.
And is that a standard across the...
It's standard for them. It is. They are a large company. They've got it standard in all their contracts.
Other questions for Brian on this? Yes, John?
Looks like Section 2, third page... Contract starts December 1st, 2007. Is that date correct?
No, that was the title that we discussed last time. That's December 1st, 2008.
Thank you.
That's the
second area. That's why I look for it. Yeah.
Can't you read? All right, any other questions?
I guess we're considering a bill for 2008.
I move we accept the AGL franchise fee. Okay, Councilor Shortall.
I'll second.
Robert Lindstein, second. Any discussion on this?
Yes. I move we amend the AGL franchise fee on page 3, change the date from December 1, 2007 to December 1, 2008.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All right, seeing that there's none all in favor of that amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, back to the AGL contract as amended with the right place. Okay.
I've got one just a question. This gives a second, so this would be final.
Okay. Thank goodness.
All right, any other discussion on this with the amendment? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thanks, Brian. Okay, our last agenda item is discussion of Senator 164, House Bill 516. Jenny?
Yes. Certainly, Council also is nothing. I'm sorry, after reading 126 pages in one contract, 50-some pages in the other one,
my eyes gave out to me, so I didn't get time to look this up, but I've been, the mayor of Johns Creek brought this up, and we were up picking up our check from the Georgia Power, and he said, be aware, there's two bills out there that you need to be aware of. Senate Bill 164 has to do with billboards, and it basically says that billboards, and I haven't been able to read it, so I'm paraphrasing what he said. Billboards can be put up in a lot of places, and it's such a hot ticket item around here. I think that's one of the things that we need to look at. And the recommendation, of course, on this, on anything like this, once we clarify and make sure this is what it actually says, is that not that we so much, because, you know, we're elected officials, but all of you out there, start writing to everybody you know, in the Senate and the House and et cetera, voicing your opinion on this. The second one is HB 516, which has to do with manufactured homes. Basically, that translates into mobile homes. And it's another thing that, again, all I'm doing is paraphrasing what he has told me, because I didn't have time to look at that, and I apologize for that, but I don't apologize. Is that basically you've got a lot, you can put a mobile home there. As I understand it, this one of these bills is some miraculously put up by somebody that makes these. So I think these are two things that we need to look at and be aware of as a council, because it's very important to our community here. Those are two things that will not go over well with any of us. So I think something we need to do is clarify that, and then if we can get that out through our public relations people i.e. quote unquote letter writing campaign to all the elected officials like the Speaker of the House, the Senate pro tem, et cetera, and our local representative to voice our opinion on these two bills.
Okay, Tom, can I ask you to start on that?
I'll take that for I'm meeting with a lot of interest at the Capitol tomorrow morning, so I'll get back to council with what the essence of the bills are.
Okay.
But this is Georgia.
I know there's one. There was one billboard bill that passed the Senate, and our Senator Weber was one of the few that voted against the clear cutting of trees, so that you could see the billboard.
And I think this is part of that.
Okay.
That is part of that is part of this.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. Thank you very much on that. Also, other business, Councilman Ross. Did you have something under other business?
Oh, he actually handed that from me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman Witzke.
I had two comments that I wanted to make. And I'm sorry that Bob Lunston has left. When I was talking about the role that the DHA plays with development, I neglected to say that I think what they do is incredibly important. It is really useful to have a group like the DHA working with developers and trying to help them shape proposals before they come to us. So I erred by not making that statement, because I do have an enormous amount of respect for what they've done for us and what they continue to do. And my concerns with the ethics policy isn't in any way related to me not appreciating the things that they do. The other comment I didn't make earlier that I felt like I should have, when we were discussing the purchasing policy, the staff made some changes to the proposed purchasing policy to promote sustainability and ecology, and I really appreciate that. That wasn't in the model that came from the citizen committee, and they put some thought into it and made some changes, and I thought they made it much better. And I appreciated them doing that. So I thought that was great, and I was glad to have that in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Okay, any other business? Seeing that there's none, we're going to move on to public comment. And I see Yvonne Williams has... Okay. We have put you through the paces tonight.
Thank you.
How's
it doing?
Good.
See you. I wore my blazer.
Yeah.
You're on the team.
Ken's off.
Thank you. I need one. I was going to say that I want to take this opportunity to really congratulate this
council on a lot of dynamics that are happening, and you know, I'm not here at every meeting, but I do understand what you're doing. It's good for the city and the region. And I'm only here to make a positive offer, because I did serve on the transition team, and I have done it for 3 governments now. So I understand a lot about transition, I think I do, and what it takes to kind of be in a negotiation. But what I want to share with you is, the CID, as you know, assesses taxes, and our investors now are in a very volatile situation. We're having to go out majorly to have an outreach system to talk to investors to see if they're willing to assess that CID tax again because of the economy. It's bottom line economy. And we're getting a lot of positive feedback, and one of the reasons we're getting feedback is because we formed a marketing council, which we believe is a way to bring together all of the entities of Perimeter and have a common message on branding and really focus on branding with a very good way to get good maps, good tools, good materials, and do that in cooperation with the chamber and different entities from Sandy Springs, Dunwoody, and DeKalb. And I know the mayor's had a sneak preview about that we're unveiling. So I share this because we just recently come off a meeting with the hotel council. Our first outreach was with all of the hotels in the area, and we unveiled our marketing council, and they gave us their wonderful support and said, we just need something right now. And my question then was, what is the bottom line here? They're suffering big time. The hotels are in a very big downturn. Now, I don't have a reason to understand why is the transition between what DeKalb County offered them and what you all are diligently trying to do. I understand that is an issue of transition. All I can tell you is we're in a critical period where lots of revenue is being lost and there's not a lot of services being delivered for a period of time when they need to have an ability to have leads go out and get customers and have the base built. What I'm sitting here today to offer is an interim solution. If this council would like the marketing council of the CID to step up and help with this way to have everybody at the table and have some services delivered until you get whatever formality that needs to be in place. I think it's perfect timing. I think it's needed. And I wouldn't be here tonight to tell you that I thought everything was really perfect out there, but it's not. But I think the hotel council and community is really, really suffering economically. And when that suffers, the retail suffers, the restaurants suffer, and our corporations are suffering. So I'd really like to find a way to help out whatever you all think and help the CID step up and serve and bring this kind of coalition together and help you all in an interim period to make sure that we're serving this clientele and they don't lose services. I don't pretend to understand why they would be cut off for whatever reason. But I'd just rather take the high road and do something about it and help out. So I'm offering that tonight because the marketing council already, we've gotten major emails from one meeting saying this would be perfect to have a sort of the way we all come together, have a coalition, and build marketing strategies and serve and get these collaborations in place and collaterals in place. So that was my point on public comment tonight, and anything we can do to help from your discussions we're here to offer.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes. Mr. Dallas?
Thank you, gentlemen. I know the night's long, not long some nights, but nevertheless, echoing what Yvonne Williams said, the hotels are in trouble right now. And Rio Comerica Plaza, Marriott, and W has said, working with the DCVB, frankly, is part of the marketing council that you just heard about, is what they need for now for the interim period. If we don't do that now, they will pay the price. The retailers that rely on their patrons will pay the price as well as the restaurants. That's why, when I said earlier, we have to work on helping them now. We should use the funds that we have for that purpose now. And, you know, the DCVB, the DeKalb one, has put 7,500 heads in their beds over the past year. And one of the problems with developing a new one is it's going to take about a year to get it functional. So we've got this interim period where we can't let them, you know, be hurt by not using the money. So I think we should. They're down 20-24%. And they are the crown jewels of DeKalb County. When you look at the overall DeKalb County, 4 or 5 hotels we have here are the primary generators of funds. We need to maintain those crown jewels. Let me just say this about governance. Governance in the long run is going to be an important thing. But I think when we make policy decisions like that, the reason we're a city is we need to open that up. We need that discussion to be opened up to all the stakeholders and frankly the citizens. There's nothing wrong with that. So when we have meetings, and I'm glad a meeting is being set up this Friday, we have questions which hopefully have not been answered here before as to who should be on board of the organization as created. Should an authority be created, another governance model like that, or should we have a private sector model? Those are open questions the public needs to understand and talk about before we make those decisions. Has the DD been decided? Who should run it? Should we have an executive director? Has that discussion been had? These are the things that are going to have to be dealt with as to how effective it can be. And I believe the best way to deal with things like this, as important as they're going to be, need to be public. Need to be discussed openly. The stakeholders need to be able to clearly say together what it should be. And, you know, those of us who've been involved in the city's creation, those of you all, of course, who are charged with running it, you know, that's good. Let us get involved. I would say, you know, for me personally, the private sector model is the one that we really should focus on because, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about in creating the city. And so let's have that part of the discussion so we can continue to make this a great city that you all have been working so hard to do. And again, of course, I always want to thank you for the work that you put in. It's been tireless. It's been long hours. And I'm personally grateful for all of that.
Thank you, Mr. Dallas. Tom Dwyer.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm hearing a lot of stuff here tonight. I heard some contentious stuff about the DHA. I've never been a really great fan or a detractor one way or the other, but I can say that as a newly appointed member of the community council, that in sitting in on some of the seminars and stuff where they were teaching us some of the stuff that we were supposed to be paying attention to, and looking at the current regulations for getting a rezoning done in the city of Dunwoody, that it is a ABC type procedure, and that one of the things that is being left out that I've been just overhearing, just kind of keep my ears open, is the design review process. That as the gentleman mentioned earlier today, the deals on the side, so to speak, were these design review type issues, which in the current zoning book are covered for the overlay district, but even the head, I forget the guy's name, the head of the department for the Community Development Department. Even he admits that at some point we need to have a process or a rule for, you know, I don't know if you can make every neighborhood an overlay district, but there needs to be some sort of design approval process that is outside the zoning laws, because we were told as part of these community development boards and as part of the review process and the appeals zoning appeals board that we have to follow the letter of the law. And the letter of the law does not address whether something's a red brick Williamsburg or whether it is a concrete three-story box. Okay. That being said, I think that that process needs to be started in terms of either a task force, similar to what we did before we started up the city of Dunwoody, some of those types of task force, and we need to do that in conjunction with, and I don't know if the planning department is working on the comprehensive plan, the zoning plan, but I think that those are two issues that it's going to be important for y'all to get something going up front before we start getting presented, you know, with these types of rezoning changes. I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, the economy's terrible, so there's not a lot of stuff coming up. But if there was, I'm here to tell you that from my point of view and looking at what I'm going to be faced with and what I'm allowed to say, no, we don't want that, or yes, we can have that, is our hands are going to be tied by the zoning ordinance as I read it. I just want to make everyone aware of that.
Thank you, Mr. Dwyer. Joe DeVita.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the opportunity to speak in. I have a couple of quick things. One, there was a question brought up about preference for vendors, and as it relates to whether they're in Dunwoody or not. And so one thing we want to think of is economic stimulus. And not only the first time the payment is made within Dunwoody, but where the money goes afterwards. So one thing we consider, we can certainly follow up with you on this, is how to rate how many times that money turns over in our local economy. There are some real good models for this. So part of it is if the vendor located in Dunwoody, right, and yes, we collect tax on that, but also how is that spent? Do they have, how many employees do they have? Where they spend their money. So we could have a scenario where you may have an independent contractor that outsources everything on the internet, and that money not only leaves Dunwoody, but it could leave Georgia, it could leave the state. So that's one thing to consider. Secondly, I want to speak in support of Yvonne Williams. We've recently had a chance to work with the PCID. PCID has recently sponsored the guidebook. We made a promise to Yvonne that the Dunwoody Chamber would start coordinating efforts with the Sandy Springs Privilege Chamber of Commerce. I am pleased to say that Paula Owens of Bank of North Georgia sits on our board now. She also sits on the board of the Sandy Springs Privilege Chamber of Commerce. This is opening up Paula as a liaison between our groups. There's discussion about coordinated events. There's a discussion about coordinated committees to work out issues like economic development. And one of the things I want to speak to in support of Yvonne is that sometimes we have to stop looking at these lines we draw. When it comes to economy, when it comes to economic growth, these are regional issues, not just local issues. So when we're considering where we spend our money, when we're considering the vendors we choose, we need to consider where that money goes and how that circulates in our local economy, whether it be just over the border in Sandy Springs, Fulton County, or whether it's just over the border in DeKalb County or unincorporated DeKalb County. And I'll share something, or a meeting we had just recently, and the result of the meeting was a Holiday Inn Select wanted to know why the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce came to visit them, and why the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce was even interested in Holiday Inn Select, because they were in unincorporated DeKalb County. And we said to them, well, you have some great facilities over here, and when you're guests come to Georgia, where do you think they spend their money? And Holiday Inn said, well, at the mall, at the local restaurants up in Dunwoody. I said, so out of the average hotel stay of $180 to $350, that same guest spends another $180 to $350 in car rental, dining out, and shopping in the mall and supporting our local merchants. So even if the direct dollars, okay, aren't in our city limits, we have indirect dollars that are also come back to us as well. So sometimes we have to think beyond the lines we draw. And I just want to leave you with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. DeVita. With that, no more public comments. We are proposed to go to executive session. The removal from Councilman Short, seconded by Mr. Taylor. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Is it right to state the purpose of the executive session? Real estate?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
It'll be for real estate acquisition and attorney-client privilege issues.
Do you have a room for us?
Or do you have a room for us, buddy?
Make a way to come in.